right, Colossians chapter number 1. Let's look at verse number 9. For this reason we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. I'm giving this message tonight the title of Filled with His Will. Started and entitled, Are You Filled with God's Will? Either way, may God add his blessings to the reading of his word. I don't believe that it is really all that difficult to know God's will. I really don't. Now, when it comes to knowing God's will about a certain direction in our life, sometimes we have to wait. We just have to trust. And that can be difficult, can it? Been there, done that. But I have also learned that if I'm searching for God's will, whatever I'm doing at that moment, that's God's will for that moment. Because I've not had an opportunity to do anything else. That's where God has me. God's in control. I believe God is sovereign. So for that moment, that time, I'm doing what God would have me to do. I'm where God would have me to go. If he chooses something different, then he will make that known. I remember back in 2008, the early part of 2008, I think it was, I went to a wedding and Mike Cowan was preaching the wedding. Maybe it was 2007, and I was pastoring in Florida. And Mike said, you know, I resigned First Newark. I said, yeah, I had heard that. You're going somewhere else, going to Coolidge. I said, that's fantastic. He said, you know, that's a good church. You ought to put your resume in there. And I remember saying this to Mike. I said, you know, God knew where Moses was. He knew where to go find him to get him when it was time. And if that's what God would have me to do, God knows where I am, and God will come get me. And guess what? One day, God came and got me. I argued for a while. But God knew exactly where I was. But at that time, God made his will. No, that's kind of an interesting story, but I'm not going to get into all that tonight. I don't believe that, you know, when we're talking about finding God's will, that we have to find it as if God has hidden his will, as if he's playing games with us. Okay, I've got something I want you to do. Now you got to come look for it. And I'm going to move it. You know, you're never going to know. You just got to keep on. I don't think that it works that way. I do believe that there are some things that we must do in order for us to discover what God's will is. And by the way, let me just say this. I'm not of the opinion. I'm more of the opinion of this way. Let me put it this way. That you don't find God's will. God's will find you. Okay? And maybe I might deal with that just a little bit more as we go through this. But I do believe that there are some things that we must do in order for us to be able to discover God's will. And as we're doing those things, God's will become clear to us. Now, let me say at the outset, knowing God's will has to do with our mind. Okay, we're talking about knowing. It has to do with the way we think. It has to do with what we know. And it has to do with what we do with what we know. Now, I could do a study on this all by itself, but it is important to understand how much emphasis the Bible puts on the believer's mind. Christians are called to know things. We are called to certainty about our faith. At the very beginning of the book of Luke, as Luke is writing to Theophilus, he's trying to give an orderly account of the things that had happened in the life of Jesus, and he's writing, so he can tell Theophilus, I'm doing this so that you will know the certainty of the life of Jesus, who he was and what he did. We studied 1 John not too long ago, and according to John, we can know that we have eternal life. According to John, we can know that God hears our prayers. And I can continue on with that, but let me just summarize it to say this. A believer is a person who is in the know. You are in the know. All right? Now, the premise of this message tonight is simply this. I was saying a thesis statement, okay? Now listen and listen closely. Knowing the will of God is possible, okay? Knowing the will of God cannot be separated from knowing the Word of God. Okay? And that's what I want to build on tonight, because I believe the Bible teaches this. Knowing the will of God cannot be separated from knowing the Word of God. This is important, and why is that? Because there's many people today, even people in the faith, I don't mean to insult anybody, but I'm absolutely convinced of this, even people in the faith that do not know the difference between thinking and feeling. A lot of people feel their faith, but they don't think through their faith. They feel things, and they operate on the basis of how they feel instead of what the Word of God says. Now, don't shout me down, but I'm absolutely convinced this. I mean, I've talked to too many people, and they say, well, I know what the Bible says, but I just feel this. I know I shouldn't be with this person, but preacher, I just feel this. And so feelings trump the Word of God. And you will never live out the will of God by following your emotions. Too many are led by their emotions and not by the knowledge of the Word of God. As I said, they choose their feelings over the facts of the Word of God. And that's wrong. And to do so means that you will struggle knowing and carrying out God's will. Now, Paul certainly believed that Christians could have knowledge. And so from this passage of Scripture and a couple of others, let's see what God's Word teaches us about knowing God's will. Now, let me talk first of all about God's will concerning salvation. Now, let's go back to verse number 9. Paul begins here in verse number 9 by saying, "For this reason." Now stop right there. This is good. For this reason. What is the reason? All right. We go back to verse 3. And Paul says, "We give thanks to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and your love for all the saints." So he's heard of their faith. Their faith is strong. They love the saints. He goes down into verse 6. Talking about the gospel which has come to you as it is also in all the world and is bringing forth fruit. So fruit was being born at Colossae. And then you go on down to verse 8 and he says, speaking of Epaphras there in verse 7, who was a faithful minister, he had come to Paul and he had declared to him your love in the Spirit. So what Paul is saying here, I have heard you all are doing well. As far as your faith, as far as your love, as far as your fruit, as far as your love in the Spirit, you are doing fantastic. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to pray for you. Now see, that's backwards the way we normally do it, isn't it? We get bad news, we need to pray for it. Paul says, I heard some good things about you, so I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to pray for you. But notice what he says here. It's not that he's praying. I mean, I'm sure he's going to pray for them to increase in their faith and them to increase in their love. But he says, for this reason, since you're doing so well, I'm going to continue to pray for you. And I'm going to pray for you in other areas. One of those, which is the will of God. Knowing the will of God. So he says here in verse 9, I do not cease to pray for you and to ask. Okay? I do not cease to pray for you and ask. Now, note this, that this knowledge was not automatic. Even though these Christians, or these were Christians that Paul was writing to, he still consistently prayed and asked God that they might be filled with this knowledge. He didn't just assume they're going to have this knowledge. He said, I'm going to pray and I'm going to ask God that you would be filled with this knowledge. He prayed humbly, in other words. You need this knowledge, and I am going to pray. And then he goes on here in verse 9. He says that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will. Now, the word knowledge there comes from the Greek word epignosis. This word speaks of a deep, thorough knowledge and an accurate comprehension. A deep and thorough knowledge and an accurate comprehension. One writer said this could almost be called a super knowledge. Now, this is important because during this day, the Gnostics would use this word for a special knowledge that they claim to have, a special enlightenment that they claim to have into the spiritual world. It was a mystical knowledge. And Paul is saying, I'm going to pray that you will have a deep, thorough knowledge, not of some mystical, from some mystical world, but a deep, thorough knowledge of the will of God. Okay? Again, it is important to note that since the believers in Colossae were already demonstrating maturity, Paul could pray that God would reveal more to them. It's so refreshing to hear this because the writer of Hebrews, when he's writing to the Hebrews, he's saying, I got a lot of deep things that I'd like to teach you. I got a lot of things I'd like to tell you, but you're not ready because you're still on milk. You're still babes. But in Colossae, he said, listen, you're doing so well, I'm going to pray that you'll even go deeper than what you already know. Isn't that wonderful? I mean, that they're doing so well on other areas. He said, I'm praying that you'll know deeper things, deeper truth than you already know. Wouldn't it be nice that all God's people would be at that place where they could have a deeper knowledge of the things of God? So Paul's prayer for the Colossians teaches us that the knowledge of God is not just for a select few, but it's for all believers. Now, some believe that one cannot know and understand deeply the things of God. And I will admit, there are some things that are past our finite comprehension. There's just something, God's ways, his thoughts are just higher than my thoughts. Okay? But Paul's words indicate that we are able to have a deep knowledge in the things of God. So he prays here, verse 9, that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will. Continue on that last phrase. In all wisdom and spiritual understanding. That phrase simply speaks of having a grasp of the knowledge of the will of God and actually putting it into practice. That's what he's saying there when he says wisdom and spiritual understanding. They grasp the truth. They grasp the things, the deep things of the knowledge of the will of God. And not just that, they put them into practice. Not just knowing something, it's actually carrying it out. Now, since I'm talking, this particular point here is about God's will concerning salvation. Look over, if you will, just a couple of books earlier to Ephesians chapter 1. And Paul, to the Ephesians, is going to give us a better understanding of what this will is, okay? Ephesians chapter 1, we begin reading in verse number 7. In verse number 7. In him, that is in Christ, we have redemption through the blood, through his blood, through the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, which he made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence. Having made known to us, get this, the mystery of his what? will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of the times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth. Now, over in chapter 3, verse 6 of Ephesians, Paul says this. The mystery of his will is that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of the promise in Christ through the gospel. The mystery of his will, this mystery is not something that couldn't be known. It's something that had not been known previous. In the Old Testament, it was not known. Jews and Gentiles in one body, preposterous, scandalous, if you will. But that's God's will now. Now go back over to Colossians. Now notice this. This is why Bible study is important, that you notice the wording, okay? He says here in verse 10, well, he finishes verse 9, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, verse 10, that, he says, I'm asking that God would fill you with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that, or so that what? So that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. In other words, he is saying this knowledge, this wisdom and spiritual understanding will affect the way you live. God's will influence your lives. This knowledge will change the way that you live. But you need to understand this. Is that making sense to you? It's that you're getting this knowledge, and you're getting this wisdom, and you're getting this spiritual understanding, but you're not just getting it up here. It's making an impact in your life. It's making a difference in your life. Charles Spurgeon said this. We must now notice the manner as well as the matter of this knowledge in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Spurgeon says, wisdom is better than knowledge, for wisdom is knowledge rightly used. Knowledge, get this, knowledge may find room for folly, but wisdom casts it out. Knowledge may be the horse, but wisdom is the driver. He would say again, another quote, wisdom is the right use of knowledge. To know, get this, to know is not to be wise. To know is not to be wise. Many men know a great deal and are all the greater fools for it. There is no fool so great a fool as a knowing fool. But to know how to use knowledge is to have wisdom. You've heard me say this before. Bible knowledge is not for just information. It is for transformation. It's not just for information. It's not just to fill your head up so that you could win a Bible quiz, or so that you won't look foolish in Sunday school when the teacher asks a question. Bible knowledge is to change your life. Bible knowledge is for, so that you and I can know God's will and carry it out. It is so that we can be pleasing to him. Please, please, please do not be note rich and application poor. Do not fill up notebooks with notes, and I'm saying y'all not to take notes. I mean, that's fantastic. I'll give you my notes as far as that goes. But don't be rich in notes, but yet you don't apply what you've written down. Because God's will is for us to be filled with his knowledge, the knowledge of the will of God, to have wisdom and spiritual understanding, and then for that to affect the way that we live, for us to walk worthy of the Lord, for us to be fruitful in every good work. That's his will. That's not hard to know. That's not difficult. But it comes with knowing the will of God. It comes with having wisdom and spiritual understanding. Okay? This is absolutely vital. And if I didn't write, put this in my notes, but I'll just share it before I move on to this next point. It is interesting that you know one of the qualifications of deacons is holding forth the mystery of the faith. Deacons ought to understand the mystery of the faith. They ought to understand the mystery of his will. Never mind. You only been married once? You're in. Did y'all hear that? I shouldn't have said that.
That's
part of the problem that we have today. If we don't have people in places of leadership that know the word, that study the word. They can tell you how to do all sorts of things, but they don't know the word. How can you know the will of God if you don't know the word? Okay, that's all I'm going to say about that. Okay. All right. That's God's will concerning salvation. Let me get to what I would imagine most of you are more interested in. God's will concerning our daily lives. Because this is usually where this question comes from. How can I know God's will for my life? You ever wondered that? All God's people said, amen. All right. Listen, my friends, listen closely. We are going to see again that knowing God's will cannot be separated from knowing God's word. It's no different. Okay? Now, you can turn there if you want to. You already know it. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. And this is usually the verse that most people pick out whenever they are going to talk about the will of God. Romans chapter 12, verse 2, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. One of the translations that I have on my shelf in my office is called the Williams Translation. He translates the last part of that verse. He says, we find and follow God's will. That is what is good, well-pleasing to him, and perfect. How do we do that? It is by the renewing of your mind. The word renewing implies renovation. It implies a complete change for the better. It speaks of speaking spiritually. It speaks of thinking spiritually more and more. You don't set your mind on things below, but on things above. You're thinking godly thoughts. Your mind, as Paul would say to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5, that our minds and our thoughts are brought into the captivity to the obedience of Christ. No longer do we listen to false teachers, false teaching. No longer are we swayed by those things, but we're thinking Christ thoughts. By this renewing, we can prove. See the word there, prove. The word prove there means to test and to discern. We can test and discern what God's will is, what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I would say to you tonight, to know God's will about any given matter can be discerned by the regular study of the Word. All right? It comes by not being conformed to the way the world thinks, but being transformed by the renewing of our mind through the Word of God. All right? Now, notice what Paul writes here. It is through doing this that we will learn what is good. The Word can also, it speaks of what's good, but it also speaks of what is healthy and what is beneficial. We want to do those things that are beneficial. We want to do those things that are healthy, things that are good. That's what we're looking for, right? But not only good, acceptable. Now be careful here. Acceptable to who? Acceptable to God, not culture. We have to be careful with that. That's why we have to go to the Word, not culture. Because you know what? The culture will say it's okay to kill babies. The culture will say it's okay to identify something other than what you were born. Culture will say one thing. That's not what we're looking for. We're not to be conformed. We're to be transformed by the renewing of our mind to learn what is acceptable to God. How do you do that? That comes through the study of the Word of God. Because God's Word tells us these things. What's good and what is acceptable. If it's not good, it's not acceptable, we don't do it. But not just that. It's the perfect will of God. Now the word perfect there has the idea of being complete. Being complete. In other words, God will not allow us to do the right thing the wrong way. That's not complete. God's will is complete. I heard a preacher say one time that some missionaries had gone somewhere and they were in a particular culture where it was okay to have multiple wives. And they wouldn't even listen to anybody speak if they didn't have multiple wives, because I mean they were just kind of nobodies. They didn't have any clout. And he said, so the preachers were there. They started marrying multiple women so that they could have an audience. Folks, that's not the complete will of God. That's not the perfect will of God. I ask you, does it make sense to you? I mean, God's will be in keeping with His Word through and through. I mean, to me, that's saying, okay, we got to go be like the culture so that we can get an audience with the culture. And I don't remember any of the apostles ever saying, listen, if we're going to preach here at Pentecost or anywhere else, we got to dress like the culture. We got to act like the culture. We got to have the music. No, they just went and preached the gospel and depended upon the power of the Holy Spirit. We want to know what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God, the complete will of God. That's what we're going for. And folks, culture will tell you different. Your emotions will tell you different. That's why you cannot separate knowing the will of God from the Word of God. And so some would ask, well, what about my life, my career, my things of this, things of that nature? I would say this, if these things are true, if it is good, it is acceptable, it is the perfect will of God. And if these things are true, as far as what our career should be, where we should live, go to school, marry, all of those things, that we should ask ourselves, what are our talents? What are our desires? What are our opportunities? If they fit in the category of the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God, God has given you the desire to do it. God has given you the opportunity to do it. He's given you the ability to be able to do it. Then I can't counsel against it. If those things line up, then go with how God's blessed you. But if you're going to do something that's going to cause you to compromise the Word of God, stay away from it. Don't do it. I don't care how much money. I don't care how much prestige you have. Don't do it. It's not good. It's not acceptable. And it's not the perfect will of God. And the world will tell you, oh, this is a great opportunity from God. If it goes against the Word of God, it's not an opportunity from God. And I understand, because there's things that we want to do. It just seems like God is not going to let us do. By the way, in Romans chapter 12, right after Paul writes about renewing our minds, he launches into a little discussion about spiritual gifts. I would say to you tonight, listen to me, that God's will for you will be in keeping with your spiritual gift. He gave you a spiritual gift. God's will for me is to do what I'm doing. I believe that. I did not want to do this for all of my life. I wanted to sing. I wanted to be in the gospel music field. That's what I wanted to do from the time that I was a little boy. That's all I wanted to do. Growing up, I loved the groups. I loved the harmonies. God gave me the ability to be able to harmonize and pick parts. When I was just a kid, I mean, I had the ability. That's what I wanted to do. I knew God had me set apart for the ministry. I believed it was the gospel music field, but that's not what it was. This is my gift. What is your gift? And the truth of the matter is, some people don't know because they don't do anything. Well, I'm just going to go ahead and tell you. I mean, you're not doing nothing. You just show up. You don't do anything. How do you know what your gift is? How do you know to serve when all you do is just show up? You don't get involved in anything. God's given you a gift for the benefit of the body. Listen, one of the ways that you are fruitful in every good work, Colossians chapter 1, is you use your spiritual gift. Again, it's not that difficult, I don't believe. We need to serve, and we need to be in the Word. And I'm telling you, folks, it will just absolutely amaze you. When you spend time in the Word, when you are praying and you're seeking God and you're seeking His will and you are really studying the Word of God, not just for Bible study, not just for Sunday school, not just for ladies group, but you are studying the Bible because you are trying to discern God's will for your life. What would God have me to do? I want to know more about God. It will amaze you how often that some of those dilemmas you find yourself in all of a sudden aren't dilemmas anymore because the Word of God has done its work. Let me finish with this. The number three thing, knowing God's will is to be our purpose. Okay? Knowing God's will is to be our purpose. Paul said here in verse 9, he said that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will. I can't leave this sermon tonight without talking about that word filled there, okay? The word filled there, first of all, it means to be fully equipped. It was used to describe a ship that was ready to set sail. Back in those days, the ship was ready. All it had to do is just hoist that sail and catch a wind, and it was ready to go. He says, I pray that you will be fully equipped with the knowledge of His will. The word filled also means to be controlled. I'm saying that you are equipped and you are to be controlled by the will of God. God's purpose for your life. Yes, you are filled with the Spirit. Absolutely. We are to walk in the Spirit. But we are to be controlled with God's purpose for our lives, with God's ultimate purpose, which is Jews and Gentiles in one body for the glory of God. And how can we do our part to make that happen? We use our spiritual gifts. That's how we do it. We know the Word of God. So are you filled with His will? Do you have that knowledge? Are you growing in that knowledge? Are you studying the Bible, not just to take notes, but are you studying the Bible to learn how you can glorify and honor God? Listen, I appreciate your Bible study so much, but don't just study your Bible so you'll be ready for Tuesday night if you come Tuesday night. I know Angela does, so that's what I'm going to use. Don't just study your Bible to come Tuesday night. Study your Bible so that you're ready Wednesday morning. Study your Bible so that you're ready for tomorrow morning. Not just a Bible study, but study your Bible so that you're ready for those situations that are going to come up each and every day. It's transformation. It's not just information. Guys, same thing with you. Don't just study so you have a little knowledge. Study so you know what to do, so you know how to live. Knowing God's will is, folks, I understand. Sometimes it's not the easiest thing in the world to do. Sometimes we have to wait. I understand that. But it can never be separated from the Word of God. And if you will get in the Word of God, you will discover that God's will find you instead of you having to find God's will. Are you filled with His will? I pray that tonight all of us will desire to do that. Now, I'm bringing this to a close. I had thought about using some personal illustrations, and I did just a few minutes ago about coming here. Here's one of the reasons why I don't like to do that. Because I have seen in the past time when I was seeking for God's will about a certain move or a certain place, and I would tell that story later, I would find that people were asking me about my experience. Listen to me. This is good. This is not in my notes, but y'all need to hear this. You don't follow God's will by other people's experiences. You follow God's will by His Word. That's why I want to be careful about all the experiences that I've had. I've had some wonderful experiences. God has blessed me so. But if I tell you all of those things, then the thing you're going to do, and I do it too. Listen, I've read D.L. Moody's. I've read his biography. And, man, God came on that man. And I'm like, God, do that for me. You know, God came on him. So he had to actually say, God, if you don't stop, you're going to kill me. This joy is, you're going to kill me. He did. He said, I thought God was going to kill me. I was so peaceful and so joyful. I thought I was going to die. God, please stop. You know, I read Hudson Taylor's Spiritual Secret, great book. But not long ago, I was listening to Paul Washer, and he was talking about when God just came. And then we sit there and think, and he was telling all the things that he did, and he did this, and he did that. And I think, well, I need to do this, and I need to do that. But no, I can't base what God does in my life on the experience of other people. I need to get in the Word of God. Now, those stories inspire me, and I'm not saying don't read them, don't listen to them. Because every now and then, you just need somebody, hey, listen, you just keep pressing on. You keep pressing on, but don't expect it to happen that way every single time. Just get in the Word of God, trust God, and know that when God is ready, when it's time, His will come to you. You'll find it, and you can serve Him. To God be all the glory.